Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. It can be found on page 186 on the Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oath in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land, and the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your children ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws of the Lord our God has commanded you, tell them, we were slaves at Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us a land that he promised and oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all his laws before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Pramod. Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. We're going to start with a quiz. So here I have an image, and I would like you to tell me who this is and why they are in trouble. Now, surely. No? Something about the band, yes. Yeah, it is something about the band. That's why they're in trouble. So, interesting, right? We keep poring over your BBC News. This here is Jeremiah Azu. He is at the World Athletics in Tokyo here. And he has been warned for his clothing. Azu was wearing, you're quite right, Mary, a headband with a religious message. And religious messages of all kinds, according to the World Athletics, are deemed to be inappropriate on any clothes or kit worn during the competition. Now, whether or not Azu has grasped the finer points of the World Athletics Code of Conduct, what I think we may say is he has grasped the law of God. In fact, I need to thank him for his timely illustration, because if I was looking for a summary of the message for this morning, I couldn't do much better than what's on his headband right there. You and I were made to live 100% for Jesus. 100% Jesus. Today is the third in our series in Deuteronomy, and we are standing, as before, on the edge of the promised land. Moses is speaking to the gathered people to prepare them for the future that awaits them. In the first few chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses has reminded them both of the character of God, of all that he's done. And then in chapter 5, the one before this one, he's repeated what happened at Sinai, Mount Sinai, the giving of the Ten Commandments. And now from chapter 6 onwards, all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, and by the way, if you took up my challenge to read through the book of Deuteronomy over these few months, I hope you're enjoying it, because it's fantastic stuff. Chapter 6 onwards is like a commentary, an extended commentary on those Ten Commandments. And so here, verse 4 particularly of chapter 6 is like an expansion of the first commandment. We've heard it already. Chapter 6, verse 4, do open up the scriptures if you haven't, or if you've closed them. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Now, you may know that verse is actually probably one of the most famous prayers in the Bible. It's called the Shema, which means hear, after the first word. The ancient Israelites recited it daily. Still today, observant Jews will recite it in the morning and in the evening. Parents teach their children to say it before they go to sleep at night. And we are going to sit with this verse for a few minutes this morning. And I'm praying in the same way that they have got under the skin of generations of God's people before us. This foundational passage in Scripture is going to give us new reason to commit ourselves and all those whom God has given us to live for him 100% Jesus. And I got 2 points as we unpack that from the following verses. The first one is, love the Lord with your whole heart. Love the Lord with your whole heart. And the second is, love the Lord with your whole family. So first of all, love the Lord with your whole heart. Love the Lord with your whole heart. Now, in this verse, as we've already seen in the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, it really stands out. What we do is set first in the context of who he is. So the Shema doesn't start, love the Lord your God. It starts with the identity of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, Pramod said it many, many times in the reading earlier on. The Lord our God. And we may be wondering, this is a little bit repetitive, is it really necessary? It's really important to understand that when the Old Testament says the Lord our God, it's not saying God our God. What it's saying is that of all the possible options available to them, all the multiple gods of fertility and harvest and war and weather worshipped by the peoples around them, the people of Israel put the Lord, that is Yahweh, that's his name, in that box. Yahweh was their God. Who do we worship? The one that we treat as God is the one that Moses met at the burning bush. And the Lord, he says, is one. That means he's not many, he's not in many parts, he's one creator of the whole world. So it's not the force, it's not the circle of life, it's not a divine Mother Earth. There's one God, he's distinct from his creation, he's uniquely divine. He's one in that sense, but he's also the only one. So if you recite the Shema, if you say these words, what you're saying is he alone is God. Love the Lord with your whole heart. Now, so far, so clear, hopefully. But how do we relate to these ancient Jewish words? And if you were listening very closely, you might be pointing out to me that the headband on Azu's head said 100% Jesus, and this is about the Lord. Well, listen carefully to the Apostle Paul. He was also a Jewish teacher, and this is how he spoke in terms of Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. This is from 1 Corinthians 8. Paul said this, "Even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, there is but one God." So far, it just sounds like a normal Jewish teacher. No surprise. But then he says, "There is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." So the Apostle Paul takes God, Father, Jesus, Lord, puts it all together. One exclusive divine identity of God. So when we read Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, as Christians, we understand more. The Lord our God, the one who made himself known to Moses and on through the prophets, he is also the one who came into our world in Jesus, in his incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection. He alone is our God. He's the one we worship. Okay, that was a bit of a digression, but it's so important for what comes next, because that's what leads into the next part, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. When we put those two phrases together, we learn at least three things from this verse. Number one, our relationship with God is exactly that. It's a relationship. Perhaps, you know, you've grown up thinking of God as a bit of a heavenly policeman or even as a sort of cosmic principle or energy. But Moses would say, no, God has a name. He's called the Lord. He wants to be known. And indeed, he wants to be loved. So the question is not so much, do you go to church, any more than the question was, are you standing on the east bank of the Jordan right now? The question was, do you love God? Do you have an intimate, heartfelt connection to him? Do your desires and hopes go out to him? Do you have a relationship with him? I want to say, if that's a new idea for you, if you've never thought about having a relationship with God, I would love to speak to you about that. Perhaps join someone at the back there for our prayer ministry. So ours is a relationship with God. Secondly, our relationship to God is a response in kind. So we love the Lord, but he's the one who first loved us. He's rescued us from Egypt. In our case, the Egypt of the prison of our sin, our condemnation through the cross. He's carried us like a father in his love up to today. And so we love because he first loved us. And finally, I guess most obviously, it tells us that God wants us all in. What is the most common word in chapter 6, verse 4? It is all. In fact, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, Andrew read it out earlier, he recited this verse from Deuteronomy, and he just made one change. And do you know what change he made? With all your mind. There's an extra all. Yeah. God wants us to be all in. So let me ask you this morning, are you all in? What does God have of yours? Does he have your time? Does he have pride of place in my diary? Has he got my attention? Does he control my words? Do I speak in a way that reflects him? What about my contact book? Are my relationships all in for Jesus? Does he have my home, my house, perhaps my car or whatever you travel in? Does he control where I go? Does he have my wallet? Do I spend my money thinking of his priorities? I stopped there. I haven't got anything else in my pockets. But, you know, what else could you pull out? What else is the next step for you to take out and to place before the Lord? And I want to say to you, if today that's a particular challenge the Lord is putting on your heart, this time to be all in for him, we're going to have an opportunity to close with a prayer of dedication at the end of this sermon. We had it here during the 24 hours prayer as an opportunity to consecrate ourselves to the Lord again. All as part of that message. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. Now, we can say quite a bit more about that, but I want to take that principle in the direction that Deuteronomy 6 takes it, because it's a very specific one. He says, love the Lord your God with all your family. Love the Lord your God with all your family. Loving God, Moses says, has big implications for how we raise the next generation. And as I look out today, I know we're all in very different situations here. Maybe you're single. You may be married, but for whatever reason, you haven't got kids. Or maybe despite your best efforts, actually family has not gone the way as you wish. So even thinking about your family is a bit painful. I want to say, even though this is a specific message for parents, there is a real emphasis on the role of parents. We don't just farm out our faith raising to our youth leaders. This is your job if you're a parent. So yes, parents are kind of in the crosshairs, but actually this is a message for the whole church. I know I'm looking at grandparents. You have a massive role, huge. It takes actually a whole church in whatever stage we're in, a multi-generational church to raise a child. So bear all that in mind as Moses helps us think very practically often how we can pass on our love for the Lord to those who come after us. And I've got 8 tips here, okay? And so I'm going to go quickly. If you want to snap it with your phone, you can. It'll obviously be on the live stream afterwards. But they're all from Deuteronomy 6. So here we go. Number one. Remember, you're a link in a chain. You're a link in a chain. Verse 1, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord. Moses is speaking to these guys, and he gives them a 3-generation vision. You, your children, and your children's children. So you and we are not just isolated people making personal spiritual choices. We are links in a chain that extends back to our spiritual ancestors, and it goes forward to generations yet unborn. Here's a really humbling challenge. What will your grandchildren have of your faith? Can you parent in such a way, as far as it depends on you, and it doesn't totally depend on you, to be clear, what can you do that your grandchildren might know of the Lord? That was number one. Number two, start with your own heart. Before Moses goes on to say, you know, impress these commands on your children, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. You cannot give what you do not have. One of the weirdest things in my role as a minister is when people come and they ask me about baptism, and, you know, I like to baptize, you know, little Johnny or whatever. And I said, well, why is that? I said, well, we'd really love them to, you know, get that really kind of solid foundation in their lives. And I'm speaking to someone who has completely walked away from church and faith themselves personally. And I have to somehow, as graciously as I can, you know, try to help them see that your children are unlikely to build on a foundation that you're not particularly interested in. Or to put it much more positively, the best way
To help your kids be on fire for the Lord is to be on fire for the Lord yourself. That was number two. Number three, talk Jesus everywhere. Talk Jesus everywhere. Verse 7, I love this verse. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. This is talk about the commandments. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Maybe in your family you have family devotions. Maybe you have some time, a Bible reading with your kids or your grandkids at the end of the day. This is actually much wider. This is about creating a family environment where faith conversations just happen naturally and regularly. You know, perhaps you chat to your kids on the phone once a week. Does Jesus get a mention? At the table, in the car, up a mountain, in a queue. Talk Jesus everywhere. Number four, make God visible at home. Make God visible at home. Verse 9, Moses says, write the commandments on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now look, I think the Lord gives us flexibility here, okay? So I don't think, you know, you have to now go home and get the stencil out and start changing the porch. And indeed, I wanted to say to you that if you have Psalm 23 in cross stitch in your porch, bless you. But also, it doesn't have to be exactly like that either. The point here is not the specifics, I think. The point is, can you make your home culture somewhere where God's place, God's presence and his priorities have a public place? There are Christians whose homes are still just a collection of private individuals, each of whom has a relationship with God. Can you make your home that place where God is publicly evident? Make God visible at home. Number five, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. In verse 10, Moses warns about the danger of prosperity. He says, when you've eaten and you're satisfied, and he goes on to, you know, you're in houses that you didn't build and you've got vineyards you didn't plant. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord. Here's the thing. Prosperity, if life goes well, it brings on spiritual amnesia. So actually, passing on the faith to the next generation requires patterns of remembrance. Church attendance, keep coming. Family prayers or whatever you do, scripture reading, celebrating God's goodness. However you do it, don't forget to remember. Number six, trust God's law is good. Verse 18, Moses says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. You know, sometimes following God's ways will put us at odds with our culture. There may even be suffering involved in living by God's standards. But Moses promises that doing what is right and good leads to blessing. And not just for you personally, but generationally. And I think there's a call for us. You know, just everyone else is going in a different direction. And the devil hops on your shoulder and says, you don't want to go in the opposite direction. It's definitely going to ruin your life. And you need to remember at that moment, actually, no, it comes from the Lord. I trust him. He's good. He loves me. Trust God's law is good. Two more. Number seven, be ready for questions. Be ready for questions. In the future, verse 20, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him. This is also one of my favorite parts of Deuteronomy 6. Love this vision of family discipleship. Kids do ask just some of the best questions ever. I remember when I was trying my best to explain to Marina early on that God was everywhere. I remember her walking up to the window where we lived in Raines Park. It was at night time. She pressed her sort of face against the glass and she said, Daddy, is God out there? It's great, isn't it? Those questions are just so precious. But questions don't grow in every parenting or grandparenting or godparenting soil. There's a way that you can approach your relationships with the next generation that allow those questions to happen. Can you be ready for those moments when your nephews and your nieces and your grandkids start to ask? Can you let them know that there's nothing that they can't ask? You're not going to come down on them like a ton of bricks because they don't know the answer or make them feel ashamed. Can you let them know there's nothing, you're not going to have a go at answering, even though there's plenty of puzzles you don't have the answer to yourself? It's such a privilege, isn't it? And you know, you get to that moment and it's like bedtime and everyone needs to really have been in bed like half an hour ago. Just talk about God anyway. Yeah? It's worth a slightly lousy kid in the morning if you had a chance to share the gospel or something important about the Lord with them. Good. And finally, explain your values with the story of redemption. Explain your values with the story of redemption. Sorry, it's a lousy line. Let me explain. When that question comes, what is the meaning of the stipulations, right? In other words, when your kids go to you and say, why do we have to go to church again? Why don't we just lie about this thing and then we won't get in trouble about it? Why do we have to have those people around and like offer them hospitality? I just want to sit on my iPad and not talk to anyone. Why? When those questions come, Moses advises the people to respond by telling the story of God, what God has done. So verse 22, he says, tell your kids, when they say, why do we do this? Tell your kids, we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out to bring us in and give us this land. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees so that we might prosper. Explain your values, explain the way you live by telling the story of redemption. And I've been so challenged by this. I think I often, when my kids ask me, I often have the tendency to answer with a label or identity. They say, Dad, why do we have to do this? I was like, because we're Christians. We're a Christian family. Okay? Well, sometimes it's even worse than that. Like, look, one day when you're in charge, you can do whatever you like. Okay? But for now, I'm in charge. So just, you have to do it. Here's what I wish I would say more often. What I wish, Moses goes much deeper, doesn't he? He says, like, ah, look, it's just, we follow God. Shut up and do it. He says, no, let me explain. There is a great big story to tell that makes sense of what I'm telling you here. God has rescued us. He has hauled us out of Egypt. And we are going somewhere completely different and wonderful. And that God, this is how he has given us to live. Well, there we go. That's your 8 points. It isn't easy. No technique, of course, no strategy guarantees that our kids will have faith. And we need to not beat ourselves up and certainly not give ourselves a hard time when our kids choose to walk in a different way. But these verses encourage us and remind us that we can do our part. Love the Lord with all your family. Good. Well, as we close, I want to return back to where we began. Because it isn't just a foundational text. It is absolutely the way forward for us in our Christian life. Remember Jeremiah Azu there with his run-in with the powers that be. 100% Jesus may not meet with 100% approval. And I want to say this morning, recognize that for all of us, sometimes that approval isn't even ourselves. Sometimes we're not really quite convinced that we want to go 100% Jesus. Perhaps we respect others who do, but we get worried that full commitment to the Lord is actually a good thing. You know, maybe it just feels a bit too intense, or maybe it's a bit too public, a bit too risky, a bit too embarrassing. And let's just be clear, you can be saved and you can hold back. That opportunity is there for the people of God. But I want to say to you this morning that the better way is all in. The better way is all in. Maybe once you were really on fire for the Lord and things have just drifted and fizzled a bit. Maybe you become disenchanted with church. And really your thoughts are mainly just about, I don't like church, I don't like this, or circumstances. You're just really cut up about how they've worked out. And in all of that, somehow God has just disappeared from view. Maybe you've been circling with a comfortable faith for a long time, and then now suddenly, recently, the Lord is putting something on your heart, saying, hey, listen, come and be all in. Maybe there's a long-term trade-off. Maybe there's one part of your life, you know, one of these, one of these, one of these, whatever. that you've been holding back. And the Lord is saying, it's time to put that one out there and give it to me. Whatever it is, can I encourage you today to say, Lord, I am 100% with you. I'm going to invite the musicians up. And as they come up, I want to pray through a prayer that it's actually up on that pillar there. So you can take some time to have a look at it later on. It's been here since we did the 24-hour prayer. It's a prayer by a guy called Lancelot Andrews, an archbishop some time ago. And it's a prayer of consecration, of devotion, of committing ourselves to the Lord. I'm going to pray it slowly, and you might want to make this your own. And it may be that after this, the Lord has already spoken to you this morning. You may want to pray further with someone at the back where our prayer ministry is. Or if you want to come and speak to me, the Lord is really challenging you and you want to know what to do next. We'd love not to just leave it here. But for now, let me pray this prayer. So, Lord, I give you my hands to do your work. I give you my feet to go your way. I give you my eyes to see as you see. I give you my tongue to speak your words. I give you my mind that you may think in me. I give you my spirit that you may pray in me. Above all, I give you my heart that you may love in me your Father and all mankind. I give you my whole self that you may grow in me, so that it is you, Lord Jesus, who live and work and pray in me. And so I hand over to your care, Lord, my soul and body, my prayers and my hopes, my health and my work, my life and my death, my parents and my family, my friends and my neighbors, my country and all people, today and always. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.